We can't point to the Egyptian people for a tornado that happened, right? We can point to the Egyptian people for what's happening in Egypt, but we can't point to people for natural events. So because as human beings we try and attach reason to stuff, we're looking for a reason, where do we go? We can't attach reason, we can't attach people to that reason. So where do we go? We go to God. As human beings, bad stuff happens in the world, tsunamis, hurricanes, whatever, and human beings naturally go to God. Well, it must have been God. That must be the reason. It must be the sin of the people. It must be whatever. The religious people will say it's the sin, or the spiritists will say it's because of... They'll come up with all kinds of reasons, but they'll go to God and say, no, it's God's fault. I mean, we've even got in our clauses of insurance, acts of God. Right? But this is an entirely wrong perspective of God. And it's bred a very, very sick picture of a God in heaven who wants to whip us. He wants to take us out. If we just step out of line, he wants to take us out. And it also breeds a distrust in him. Because if somebody's family member is injured or worse, and then some God just provides this comforting phrase, well, everything happens for a reason, you're like, well, that's not very comforting. I don't want to know God. If he took my friend or whatever, or I was in this accident because of God, I don't want to know him. It breeds a distrust in God. And we wonder why the world isn't interested. I tell you what, church, we as Highway Christian Community are so blessed because we have two things. We have a correct understanding of the sovereignty of God. And if you don't, that's why I'm preaching tonight. I felt I needed to bring this message again tonight. I've preached on this before. But we have a correct understanding of the sovereignty of God as a church. Do you know how rare that is for churches? Not even agnostics. Not even God-fearing people. Do you know how uncommon it is for churches to have a correct understanding of the sovereignty of God? So much of the church is like, if you are not careful, God may take you out. God may bring sickness. God may bring calamity. God may bring poverty. God may do these things to teach you a lesson. That is not God, and that is not the gospel. And we as a church are so blessed that we carry something. We carry a different message. We can, when someone says everything happens for a reason, we can say, no, actually not. Everything happens because of a fall. Everything happens because we live in a fallen world. Everything happens because Adam and Eve made a mistake in the garden, and now we live in a broken world. But I want to tell you something, my friend. It's my job to change that. I'm here to change that. So let's pray right now. Let's declare peace to your storm. Let's declare healing over your sickness. I mean, I think of Shamila, who's standing here. She had like stage 3 breast cancer. Hey? Stage 3, stage 4 breast cancer. It was like months away from death. No, that's what she had. That's what she had. The testimony is that we prayed as a church. She prayed. She believed. She said, I'm not standing for this thing. This is part of the fall. This is part of the curse. I'm not standing for this thing. This cancer, you get out my body. Guess what? It fell out. It physically fell out. And she is alive here 2 years later and healthier than ever. That's the power of the kingdom of God. And we as a church mustn't lose that. We mustn't lose that. We mustn't lose the fact that we are in a fight. And the second thing that we as a church are so thankful for, the message that we're so thankful for, is of course being able to correctly divide the covenants. We care, you know, there are many churches that understand the sovereignty of God, but then they get mixed up between the old and the new covenant. Or there's actually a lot of churches, I mean, some of the best reformed grace preachers can preach righteousness like you can't believe. It's beautiful. It's glorious. They preach it incredibly, but they just don't understand the sovereignty of God. And they think that we are righteous by grace, hallelujah, but these bad things are happening because God is allowing them. I don't understand how you get from the finished work of the cross, I'm righteous by faith, into it happened for a reason. We carry both. We carry both messages as a church. You know how rare that is? We carry you, Highway Christian Community. I want to tell you something. You carry a treasure. Now, I want to show you that A, this everything happens for a reason isn't very logical, and B, Scripture doesn't even say that, as we have said. Firstly, from a logical perspective, if everything happens for a reason, then what is the reason of Mugabe driving Zimbabwe into the ground? What's the reason for that? What could possibly be the reason for a God in heaven to allow Robert Mugabe to do that? What is the reason for Hitler to do what he did? I mean, just think about it logically. Technically, I can give you a reason. It's because Robert Mugabe's mad. That's your reason. Hitler was mad. God didn't make him do it. God's not allowing him to do it. Okay, I mean, technically he is allowing. Why? Because every man here on earth has free will. But mankind is meant to step up and say no. The church shouldn't step back and just allow these things to happen. It's not God's will. We should stand up and say, no, we're not allowing this. And then if we look at it biblically, I looked through the Bible. I was like, okay, let's just try to see where on earth do Christians get, because how many times do you hear it from Christians? People who are church-going, Bible-loving Christians, everything happens for a reason, sister. Michelle, you almost fell over there, because everything happens for a reason. How many times do you hear that from church-going, Bible-loving believers? Do you read your Bible? I was trying to look. The only verse I can find where this has been twisted from is Romans 8:28. So I want you to turn to Romans 8, because what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to go through a couple of points, and then we're going to read Romans 8 right at the end, but we're going to read verse 28 right now. Okay. Is that okay? Good. Romans 8:28. Well done, Merle's got the Bible. Yo, let's put it up. Because Merle's one of the only people who's got her Bible tonight. Well done, Merle. And Peter as well. Well done. Oh, yes, yes. Well done. Well done, Jill. Yes. If I'm making you feel guilty, please understand the new covenant. No condemnation. Terry's got hers. Jess has got hers. Well done, Jess. Donna always has her Bible. Well done. Well done. Yes. Well done, Steve. Okay, well done. Okay, guys, it's okay. It's fine. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you feel bad. Forgive me. Everything happens for a reason, guys. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works." Let's just have a look. I've got the right version there. As the NIV. In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now, can you believe that that's the only verse where you can, that substantiates the belief everything happens for a reason? Where people they've looked for a verse, this is the verse that they use. It doesn't even mean that. It doesn't say that. This verse is actually saying something very different. It's saying, no matter what happens in your life, it is going to work out for the good. If you place your life, your brokenness, your tragic situation, your good situation, not only the bad stuff, the good stuff as well. In every situation, God is so good, He will turn it around and He'll work it out for your good. He will take it and make things better. He didn't cause it. He'll take it and make it better. That is how good God is. So I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you've been through. I do care. Because I'm sure it's probably, a lot of you have been through a lot. And that's where the church, as brothers and sisters, get around each other and love each other and support each other and comfort each other. But we believe with you that God is going to turn this thing around for good. He didn't cause it. He didn't allow it. He's going to turn it around for good. Yeah, sorry. do apologize for that. You see, if we believe that everything happened for a reason, then we'd be asking for a reason in these tragic events that happen around the world. And the only conclusion we'd come to is that God had some purpose for it, which is sick, it's twisted, it's sadistic. What possible purpose does God have for wiping out entire towns? What possible purpose does God have for killing thousands of people when he died for them on the cross? But James, I know the next question. What about Old Testament examples? Ooh. Well, that's the points that we're going to get into. And we're going to come back to Romans 8. Right now, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 18. So we're going to look at these Old Testament examples. Firstly, God said that he would spare an entire city if there were just 10 righteous people. So that's point number one. God said he would spare a whole city for just 10 righteous people. A whole city. Doesn't say he'll spare the 10 righteous people. Let's read it. Hope you're all there. Genesis chapter 18. Reading from verse 32. And Abraham says to God, "May the Lord not be angry." Please don't be angry with me, God. I'm talking to you and I'm being really bold. But let me speak just once more. Just once more. "What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah." When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. Now, how many of us are interceding on behalf of Zimbabwe? How many of us are interceding on behalf of these nations which are in turmoil for Egypt? And we keep condemning them. I mean, Bill Johnson, I'd really encourage you guys to try and find the digital movie. You can't get it on DVD. It's only digital version, download version. But the third installment of Finger of God, it's called Father of Lights. Bill Johnson, right at the beginning, gets into some stuff which will label him a heretic. He's like over that because he's been labeled a heretic long ago. But he gets into some stuff. He's like, what if the bad stuff that is happening is because we as the church haven't been telling people that they're forgiven? What if we haven't been proclaiming the righteousness of God in the world? And because we're condemning them, we're actually empowering the condemnation. What if it's our words that are causing this disaster? Here's Abraham interceding for an entire city. The verse that Bill Johnson uses is in John, when Jesus says, "If you forgive people, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive," in fact, the original is, "If you withhold your forgiveness, they are not forgiven." That's a hectic verse, but Bill Johnson puts that in context and says, well, maybe what that's saying is, when we're condemning the world for all their sin, and we're condemning people and condemning nations, maybe that's why they're getting destroyed. Because of our words. Maybe the point is, when we forgive them, they receive forgiveness. They experience forgiveness. So, there's your Old Testament example. A whole city, 10 righteous people. If there were 10 righteous people, that whole city would have been saved. And we think God's taking out entire nations because of their sin. I'm pretty sure there's at least 10 righteous people in those cities. How do I know that? Well, secondly, in the new covenant, Jesus died to give mankind his righteousness. If you can have Graham up on the board, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, please. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it very quickly. It says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. My friend, let me just remind you, you are the righteousness of God. You are not the righteousness of Mother Teresa. You are not the righteousness of Billy Graham. You are the righteousness of God himself. You are as righteous as God. That's biblical. 2 Corinthians 5:21, right there. So Jesus does this at the cross. And now we live in a new covenant. And we have righteousness like never before. I'm pretty sure in the cities of the world, I'm pretty sure there's a lot more than just 10 righteous people. And if God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah, such a horrific city that they have named children, child abusers as sodomites, you know, that person was sodomized, they name sexual abusers after a disgustingly unrighteous city. That's how unrighteous that city was, Sodom and Gomorrah. It was so unrighteous, and yet God would have spared it for 10 righteous people. He would have spared the whole city for 10 righteous people. And here we see that in the new covenant, we have the righteousness of God. Why would he be taking out entire cities? Why would he be taking out entire villages? He's not, is the point. Just hoping you're getting that. Thirdly, Jesus showed that things had changed when his disciples asked if they could call fire down from heaven to destroy a Samaritan village for not receiving him. Instead of saying, yes, Peter and John, you're welcome to, he told them, no. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Let's have a look at this. As the time approached for them to be taken, for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead, who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Jesus shows them that we're in a new era, guys. We're in a new era. We're in a new covenant. We don't call fire down from heaven. We don't destroy cities anymore. We don't do that. If you want to get philosophical about it, theological, Andrew Womack says that God had to destroy villages and things like that to preserve a virgin, so that there would be a virgin. Because if the sin had just spread like a cancer, then there would eventually have been no virgin left, and Jesus had to come through a virgin. That's Andrew Womack's take. Interesting one, but for me, I'm not a theologian. I don't need the answer for why God destroyed those villages. I don't need the answer for why God commanded David to go kill so many people. I don't need the answer. Andrew Womack's a teacher. He needs an answer. And that's a pretty good answer. Much rather that answer than some of the other stuff. But the point is, Jesus came along and he brought a new era. He brought a new covenant. He brought something, a new establishment completely. So that stuff happened in the Old Testament, but boys, we're part of something new. We don't call fire down from heaven. We don't destroy villages anymore. It's not our heart. It's not who we are. And fourthly, stories in the Old Testament are not a 100% accurate representation of God's nature. Why do you think the Jews, many Jews, still do not believe in Jesus? They have the Old Testament. They've got the Torah, they've got the book of law, they've got the same Bible that we do right up until Malachi. They've got the same scriptures. but they don't believe in Jesus. You can have the same scriptures, but if you don't have Jesus, you don't have the full picture. Stories in the Old Testament are not a 100% accurate representation of God's nature. If you can have Hebrews 1 verse 3 up, please, Graham. It says, the sun is the radiance of God's glory. Do you know, I believe the glory was not radiating on earth as much as it is today. The sun is the radiance of God's glory. God's glory was here, but now God's glory is radiating into the world. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. No other entity in Scripture is labeled as the exact representation of God's being. Nothing else except Jesus. Jesus is labeled the Word of God. Jesus has said He is the Word. He is the Word made flesh. And only Jesus is the exact representation of what God is like. So if you want to know what God is like, okay, did that happen because of God? Did God allow that to happen? Did God cause that to happen? Did God cause these things? Did God give me sickness? Did God this? Did God that? Well, look at Jesus. What was Jesus like? Did He ever make anyone sick? No. Did He ever say to His disciples, boys, let's let the storm ride it out. This is to make you a stronger person. No. He rebuked that storm. Did He ever call fire down from heaven to destroy a rebellious city? No. He even rebuked His own disciples who wanted to. He is the exact representation of what God is like. If you go to verse 1 in Hebrews. Hebrews 3 verse 1. Where is it? Where am I? Hebrews 1 verse 1. Let's have a look at it. In the past, yeah, that's good. Hebrews 1, 1 to 3. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. So you see, in the past, God spoke through the prophets. In the past, He spoke through the Old Testament scripture, but now we have the exact representation. Do you know how privileged we are to live in this new covenant? Amen. Now, some of you may be sitting and saying, well, James, why do the bad things happen then? Because, man, a lot of bad things happen. If you guys need some reading material, I'd encourage you to get Chris Vallotton's book, Heavy Rain. I know he's just changed the name of it. I don't actually know what it is now. I need to check. it's because the rain is the context of glory, so it would never be light. But go Google it. If you really want some reading material, get an audiobook. I love buying audiobooks these days because I can listen to it into the car. So I don't have a chance to read as much, but I listen to a lot of stuff. And I encourage you to get the audiobook, Heavy Rain. And in one of the chapters, he just goes on about how much better the world is to what it was 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. And he actually lists scientific facts that show the world is actually getting better. And there are less wars today than there ever have been in the history of mankind. But the media is just highlighting all the negative stuff. But that doesn't change the fact that bad things do happen. But basically, for God to create an environment for true love, He had to create an environment of freedom and choice. Are you following me? For God to create an environment of true love, He had to create an environment of freedom and choice. Man chose to go his own way, and the consequence of that was dramatic. The world broke. And I want you to turn with me to Romans 8. Let's go to Romans 8. And we're going to read this now. Man chose to go his own way, and the consequence of that was dramatic. The world broke. We now live on a planet that is afflicted with disease and tragedy, not because God is causing these things to happen, but because we are. Because we, in our disobedience in the Garden of Eden, caused the planet to go into a frustration, a brokenness. And now this planet is crying out for its liberation, to return back to its original plan of perfection. So let's read it. Romans chapter 8. And y'all pick it up from verse 20. Romans 8, 20 to verse 22. We're going to go to verse 22. For the creation was subjected to frustration. Everything that I've just said there is right here validated in this verse. Romans 8, verse 20. This is one of the most important Bible verses in your theology, friends. The creation was subjected to frustration. The world is crying out, earthquakes and tornadoes and all these things and volcanoes, and they are literally the creation in a frustration. Not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. So there it is. Creation was subject to a frustration. When Adam and Eve, God is so gracious. Have you noticed the curse? You know the curse, the fall? God is so gracious, he didn't even curse Adam and Eve. He cursed the ground. But there was a curse that came, and God cursed the ground, and he subjected the ground and the earth and creation to a frustration, and now it's groaning for you and I to liberate it. Now, how is that going to happen? I don't know. What I do know is that I need to rise up. I need to be the person that God's called me to be. I need to stop making up excuses. I need to stop living the sarah, sarah life. Oh, well, let's just see what happens. You know, we'll just do our best. And that's not easy, friends. I know I said to Kareem today, especially with a child, you get to a stage where I'm sure Dom can witness with me, and many of you who are parents can witness with me. You get to a stage where you're like, just don't pray anymore. I'm over it. Just give him medicine. Give him medicine. Because it's not easy. It's not easy. But Jesus told parables of the persistent widow for us to never give up. I'm never going to give up. That's what I do know. And God has called me, he's called you and I to rise up and to make a stand against the frustration of this world, against what we see in this world. He's called you and I to make a stand. And as a church, the church, we should be saying, this stuff isn't from God. You don't have to live this way, church. We should have the answer to, there's a big earthquake coming to the San Andreas Fault along California. What are we going to do? The church should have the answer to how we can either A, avoid that, or B, prepare for it. So let's stand up right now. And let's just trust God for an injection of faith, because this kind of stuff needs faith. This kind of message needs faith. It's very idealistic in its content, in its thought process. But I tell you what, we need an injection of faith to live a lifestyle that says not everything happens for a reason. Yes, God is good that he will turn it around for our good, but this didn't happen because of God. There's not a purpose or some kind of purpose that I need to find. No, this has happened because we live in a fallen world. So right now, Holy Spirit, I just release faith over this church, over this house. Faith. Lord, inject faith and passion within us again. I just declare faith and passion. Where some people may have lost their passion, where they've lost that desire to fight, to stand against the works of the enemy, to stand against a frustrated creation. Lord, raise up faith again, Lord. Coin sticking on the wall, basic faith, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord, that we would be a people who stand for the truth of who you are and what you are like, Lord. We release faith right now. We release the faith of heaven. we release the perspective of heaven. God, give us the perspective of heaven, Lord, to see things as you see them, to see things from a heavenly perspective, Father. Holy Spirit, help us in this journey. Help us in this journey to live and to walk by your Spirit, to walk in step with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Your will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen.